the minister and the department. Researchers, you are all welcome to this after lunch meeting. I know after lunch people are not, you know, as effective as in the morning because of the stomachs that are full. However, we will try, honourable members, to ensure that everyone is awake as we proceed with the business of this afternoon. We were waiting for technology so whilst we are waiting for this technology to behave in a manner that it should, we shall then allow the minister, the deputy minister, to proceed with the presentation, because we, I hope we all have hard copies, members. We do all have hard copies. Maybe before we proceed, can we get if there are any apologies? Yes, we have received apologies. One is from Honorable Nomalo. She's attending a conference in Gauteng. The other one is from Honorable Fandameve from the AFP. She's on sick leave. And I've received an SMS from Honorable Moore. She's also not well. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Honorable Fighter also has requested to leave before she's going to attend another committee concerning the NYTA candidate. Thanks. Thank you for those apologies. At this point in time, we'll then allow the department to take us through on the preparation pertaining to the Bitcoin fund of state parties to the convention on the rights of persons with disability that will be held from the 12th to the 14th of September 2012. I will then now hand over to the Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honourable members, and thank you so much for the opportunity we requested to just brief the committee on the upcoming state parties. We're trying to make sure that we're all on the same page, but also we're trying to bring the committee up to speed on the preparation, how far we are. That's the first part. The second part of the presentation, Chair, that as I said, following me and you's discussion, I thought we'll take the opportunity to also update the committee on the country report on the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, just how far we are, so that the committee can be up to date in terms of the finalization of the report as well, without necessarily getting. So those are the two parts. We'll start with the state party preparation. As Chair said, that it's an annual meeting. The meeting happens, I'm not going to read the presentations word for word if the Chair would allow. This meeting happens annually. It proceeds the meeting of the heads of state, the General Assembly, the special meeting of heads of state, that will be starting on the 20th of September. So the state party's meeting normally happens a week before the heads of state, which is an opportunity for the Secretary General of the United Nations to be able to, amongst the many meetings that are held to prepare for the General Assembly of the state, of the heads of state. This is one of those, but this one is specifically for disability. The meeting also comes as the state parties meet to process the work of the expert committee that meet four times a year to process country reports, to engage with countries on whatever other aspects. So this time the committee will be sitting from the 12th to the 14th of September in New York at the UN headquarters. The focus for this year, the theme is making the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities count for women and children. When the convention was negotiated, Chairperson, the expert committee was developed in such a way that there will always be continuity. So at the beginning, when the committee was constituted, it was constituted by members of the committee, which the convention recommends as 12, that the others will serve a 2-year and the others will serve a 4-year term. So we are at that particular part where the term, there's 9 vacancies, I'm correct here. There's 9 vacancies that need to be filled. And for the first time, South Africa is also submitting a candidate to be considered. So this particular upcoming state parties, they will be voting for state parties. So the election of the 9 members of the committee is one of the activities that state parties will be engaging in. And then it's followed by round tables, which is the themes that the Secretary General would prioritize. So in terms of the General Assembly, the heads of state would look at 4 themes for disability. The first one is accessibility, that talks to Article 9 of the UN Convention. Under that is accessibility of everything, Chair. Accessibility of services, of state buildings, and, you know, are disabled people accessing what they are required and how far the state parties are in terms of providing access, and the state parties will engage in that. Then there's the round table on children with disabilities, which talks to Article 7, linked also with Article 23 of the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. So the two will be discussed and deliberated concurrently, because that talks to issues of children. So on the Convention on the Rights of the Child in its totality, with a special focus on Article 23, but also with a special focus on Article 7 in terms of the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And that is the round table South Africa is confirmed to actually be the lead that panel, as Chair would say, that we are confirmed. On the other ones, we are making inputs as a country. But on this one, we are leading. So different leaders have been requested. So we're leading as South Africa. We need to lead the round table on children with disabilities. And then there is an informal session on women with disabilities, which is Article 6, and an interactive dialogue on the implementation of the Convention of the Right in the UN by the United Nations system. Now, on this one, this interactive dialogue, that is where the UN where member states hold the UN system accountable in terms of what is it that they have done or what is it that they have not done. How has the World Health Organization guided members in terms of issues around disability and healthcare, for instance, rehabilitation, etc.? That is where we would engage. How does the Human Rights Commission, what is it that they have done to actually ensure member states comply with the human rights of people with disabilities? How would the UN Women, how would it have facilitated the issues of women? So all of these different UN agencies will be accounting in terms of what they have done in their day-to-day work in country offices and regional offices to ensure that they incorporate the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities in their everyday work. Then there will be the report of the Special Rapporteur on the Standard Rules. Chairperson, the Special Rapporteur on Disability to the UN is a South African. So he will be reporting on, been traveling around the countries, obviously starting with his own, to compile a report on how we have complied with the UN standard rules. Now, what I did, Chairperson, as resource documents, is to compile so that if there's members that have not seen the UN standard rules, that actually they are available. So I've tried to put together a pile of resource documents which the committee secretary will distribute so that it works as future background disability-related documents for the committee. South Africa Chairperson nominated Ms. Sibongile Mathebula as a member of the expert, as our candidate to the expert committee. We have facilitated the African Union processes. We've managed to get it signed off by the heads of state at their recent meeting where Minister Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma was also nominated. She was also endorsed by the African Union. The endorsement, Chair, is very important because what it does is, for an example, in terms of the expert committee from Africa, Uganda submitted a candidate, Mozambique submitted a candidate, Mauritius submitted a candidate, Algiers submitted a candidate, Mali submitted a candidate. And that's five candidates from the same region, because in the UN we vote according to region. So we then had to start the process, because if you look at Malawi and Mauritius and Mozambique, they are in SADC. So the SADC vote will be split. So it became a concern, so we took it so that the African Union can engage. And the African Union endorsed two candidates, which is South Africa's candidate, Ms. Mathebula, and the candidate from Algiers representing North Africa. So those are the two African Union, and the processes for the other candidates to withdraw, the African Union needs to advise the respective countries. So we managed to present a very formidable candidate that was endorsed by the heads of state and signed off. We've complied with all the African Union issues. We've also complied with all the United Nations issues. In this pack, Chair, I've attached her CV and all the guidelines in terms of how she was nominated. I've also submitted as additional document what her role and responsibility would be if nominated and how she would interact with South Africa as resource documents for members to know how the committee functions, what her responsibilities will be, and all of that. The whole guideline is in the additional documents that the secretary will distribute. We now have complied with all the administrative. We now need to start a lobbying process. As additional documentation, Chair, I've made available the nomination processes and the lobbying processes, just for the committee to also understand, because what happens is it's not necessarily how good your candidate is. It's how much time you spend lobbying all the other member states, because the voting don't necessarily look at the candidates. It's a political and diplomacy issue. So your candidate can be as strong but not make it during the voting. So we now need, as a department, invest a lot of time, resources, and energy to actually make sure that our candidate make it. For us, Chair, the resources, both financial and human, are justified, because what is happening at the moment, despite the UN Convention instilling the issue of self-representation by people with disabilities, the other countries are submitting, and for the past, since 2007, when the convention came into operation, the representation of people with disabilities has been zero. It's been professionals, it's been all of those that believe they can speak about disability except disabled people themselves. And for us as South Africa, that is a diplomatic issue, because we're saying the disability policy in South Africa is self-representation, and we're putting together a very good female disabled person, and we want to challenge the countries on that, to say that they need to be within the spirit of the convention that promotes self-representation by people with disabilities. We have started the engagement. I just came back from Washington to as part of the Deputy President's delegation to the AIDS conference. But at the background of the AIDS conference, as an example, we were engaging with different delegations from different countries, selling our candidates and for the different ambassadors and the deputy president also, who said a few breakfasts to actually support our candidate and encourage countries to actually support South Africa's candidate. So those are some of what we tried to do in at every corner, and that has started now. It's important just for me to stress, because it would assist the committee to actually understand some of the programs we'll be investing in. We've developed the campaign material. There's a pamphlet. I think is it in here, in this additional resource document. A pamphlet that we've already circulated to all the embassies and to all the regional structures and to organizations of people with disabilities as well internationally. There's a questionnaire that she had to fill. It's also in the additional package, so that we are able to get the show on the road. With regards to the logistics, Chairperson, I want to believe that the committee has received the letter of invitation already. We've sent the letters of invitations to all the premiers in the provinces so that they are able to indicate their delegation. The reason why we're going out of our way to try and coordinate the delegation, Chair, is to try and make sure that we don't meet at the airport in New York without knowing who's going. But we're also hosting a delegation briefing session on the 3rd of the 3rd. Yeah. No, September. No. The briefing of the delegation is at 11, I know, on the 3rd of September, where we are trying to brief the whole delegation. So everybody that's going needs to be at that briefing meeting so that we can go through the program and try and deploy each other to try and minimize the back and forth. So we are trying to coordinate that in the letters. I think we indicated when the briefing session is going to happen. We've sent out letters to all the district municipalities. We've also sent out letters to the relevant national departments that talks to the themes that are going to be discussed. Science and technology, public works, because public works is responsible for accessibility in South Africa in terms of government buildings, etc., infrastructure. And then science and technology, because we have a roundtable on technology. The issue of communications as well from an access perspective, basic education, social development, arts and culture, health, economic development, international relations and cooperation, as well as the chairperson of the portfolio committee, both for select and portfolio and select. In the letter, we indicated when the in-country preparation briefing will happen, and also we gave some guidelines on when people should be in New York, because we are trying to get a briefing as well in New York on the 11th of September at 3. So the other one is on the 3rd of September at 11, which is the home one, and then the other one is at 3 on the 11th of September, which is in New York prior to the starting, so that we are able to allocate each other the different times. So far, we are still waiting for the RSVPs. We have not received the responses yet from any of the people that we sent letters, but the closing date was today, so that we are able... Was it today? Yeah. We said today with an extension, I think, to mid-August. So we're hoping that we'll be able to pull together the delegation and be able to communicate. We've also, Chair, as part of the department's delegation, we need to reflect as part of what the UN requires us to do. The UN requires us to ensure that was a note verbal that was circulated. We need to ensure that our delegation has a disabled woman represented, has a disabled young person represented, and so and we also need to cater for the candidate as well, and I'll be heading the delegation and with all the supporting team. Yes, as we in the process of finalizing the delegation of the department, for the mere reason that we are just getting our all the expected briefings from the mission in terms of what is expected of us as the leading delegation, what are our additional responsibilities over and above what the state parties expect of us, so that we are able to make sure that the team we are putting together is a team that's going to be responsive to the needs and that will be expected of us. But what is a directive from the U.S. is that at least two people from the country delegation must be constituted by people with disabilities from civil society. That's a prescript that they have put to every delegation as a way of ensuring that the delegations will be fully represented. I just want to take the committee through the program, Chair. I hope it's there. No, I mean in the package. My apologies. Yeah. Not the way I wanted them. Okay, the program is as follows, Chair, and the 14th, making the CRPP count for women and children, and the opening of the meeting will be chaired by Sweden, which will be the round table, which is, you have the program, right? It's this one. It looks like three columns. Okay. So it's the first column is the 12th, the second column is the 13th, the third column is the 14th. So on the first day at the opening session, the chair will be Sweden, and it starts with us. Sweden will be chairing and we will be leading because it's the second day. And then that's the normal opening procedures, elections of the members of the committee, statement of state parties. This is where we also make a country opening statement. It's a normal UN thing where each country. So together with the delegation we'll agree on what is it that we want to say as a state party. So all state parties will be having the country message, which is normally 3 to 5 minutes. So each country, and then the elections will start, and the chair will all go and start to vote. As we vote, the round table on accessibility and technology, which focuses on Article 9, will happen, and that will be chaired by Thailand. So it's as the voting happens, we sort of go through all of that and engage each other on the round table. The expected outcome, Chair, is that at some stage countries need to be able to develop uniform MNE systems, because at the moment disability rights is a new phenomenon. So all countries are struggling, and the UN has to compare apples with oranges because we're not at the same level. So these round tables are intended to countries to debate and find each other so that they are able to develop the same, so we can monitor each other properly. On day two, we're starting the chairperson of our roundtable that we're leading on is Jamaica, and that is Article 7, which is the one we on, and then the voting will be continuing as well. And then there will be the informal session on women with disabilities, and then that will be co-chaired by Hungary. My daughter says Hungary. And a civil society, which is the International Disability Alliance, which has the observer status in the UN. And this International Disability Alliance is when civil society came together during the negotiations of the convention. The last day, will be update on the implementation of the convention by the United Nations. That will be chaired by Sweden. That's where all the UN agencies will be reporting back to the member states, and there they are. It's the Office on the Human Rights, the Office of the Human Rights, the UN Habitat, I assume they're going to talk about housing, accessibility, and UNDP and other agencies, your WHO, your UN Women, UN DESA. And then there will be the Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and they will report, and then the Special Rapporteur, and then the reports from roundtable discussions, which would be the outcomes of the different roundtable discussions that has happened. So we'll be reporting back on the outcome. It's important that I just bring to the committee, so that if the committee will be sending a delegation, that we do have a special sitting with UNICEF on the 15th to focus on MNE systems for children with disabilities, which is on the 15th, and we'll send through that documentation, because we would like the members of the committee that are going to New York to actually sit in that particular, because it also be like a training session that will enable you to do oversight on issues of children with disabilities. It's the first session that that UNICEF will be educating itself as well on their responsibilities with regard to children with disabilities. We've attached all the note verbals. We believe it will give the committee further information in terms of understanding what the UN will be doing, what are the expected outcomes. They are all attached. And I think before I move on to the country report, I would like to pause here, Chair, and take questions on issues relating to the state parties meeting. The committee did receive the note by the Secretary General. It's included in the package. This one. Yeah. Yeah. The round table two that we are in, I hope that you have that in the back, because that's what informed the leadership we must collectively provide.
This is the round table referring to
children with disabilities. That's the one South Africa is leading on. We've attached what the Secretary General sent us. The team just confirmed it's in your packs. The heading goes, six state parties of background paper for Roundtable 2, Children with Disabilities, 13 September, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Note by the Secretary General, it looks like this. It's in the package that I've requested the team to make sure you receive. That would be important for the delegation to actually, because this is where we are required to provide it's actually like our responsibility to provide the required leadership as per the selected country. So I'll just pause to take some questions. The candidate brochure is attached. Then I'll pause here, Chair, to take some questions.
Thank you. You got the round table note, right? Yes. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. What I just wanted to establish is to the delegation representatives from the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities. How many of these delegates are going to be there? And if you can just, also tell us what the role of them will be. I'm not sure, maybe I didn't listen properly. The criteria that was used for the selection, this is the civil society participation, candidates, disabled women, disabled youth. Honorable members, I recognize Honorable Lamont. OK. Okay, I think for now, those. Honorable Lamu.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister, for the presentation. It is just rather sad that we only received our documents this morning. So it was very little time to really browse through, ask questions, do research on whatever is in the package. And I think that is why members are still wondering where this is and where that is. I would really suggest and please ask that documents be circulated well in advance to us so that we can also do our homework on it. My question links with the chairs, the criteria used for the selection, if these people were selected, disabled women and disabled youth. I'd like to know what criteria were used and if these people are elected and who will be liable for the cost involved for these people to go abroad. If I can just pause there for a while, thank you.
Over to you. Thank you very much, Chair. When I presented, I indicated that the young disabled person and the two civil society representatives are prescribed by the United Nations to member states. And that prescription was imposed because throughout, as you can see, this is the fifth state parties meeting. What countries used to do, they used to just leave disabled people and just go to New York and talk about them without them. And disabled people's organizations internationally wrote to the Secretary General to complain that you are doing what you have done over the years to talk about us without us. And that is when the directive came to member states that when member states have put together the criteria, I mean put together the country delegation, they must ensure that there is two disabled people informed by what the discussions are. So this year, the key discussions is about children and women. So the theme is already dictates to you who the two civil society people are. So we didn't just choose them. The theme says, is the UN Convention working for women and children? So it automatically says that the two civil society representatives would be children and a child and a woman. So children will be at school. That's why we opted for a young person instead of a child, because in terms of the UN definition, it must be somebody under the age of 18. So we've taken it to above 18 because it's also time for the matriculants to prepare. So we will be taking instead of the child as the definition, but rather a young person. That is the first, and then a disabled woman. So that on the round table on children, the voice of a child, of that young person, could be heard. On the round table on women, a disabled woman can speak for themselves. The candidate is a must. Now, because it's prescribed by the UN, it's the department that must cover the cost of those, because they must form part of the country delegation. So in terms of civil society, we are paying for two people, minus the candidate, because that's a prescribed composition of how the country delegation. With regards to the department delegation, as indicated, it's not finalized, Chair, because it's informed by the responsibilities. But I can give a broader of what informs the delegation. Firstly, the delegation is led by myself, so I would need my guide, my PA, and the head of my office, because the PA's responsibility is to do the administrative support and the coordination and the logistics and all that, what secretaries do. And then the head of the office deals with issues of content and the responsibilities that I have as a political principal. So from my office, there will be four people with me. From the department, it's because it's the unit monitoring and evaluation. Who are the unit that prepares the country reports, but that are also responsible for our interaction with the UN. We'll be taking one director that will be going with, because we are supposed to take a chief director. Unfortunately, we've had a resignation, so we only have one chief director left that needs to make sure that whilst we are in New York, there's work that happens. So we'll be taking a director from the MNE unit because they are the ones responsible to interact with, so that's Simi Pile, I think. So she will be representing the disability unit. And then we'll go with the DG as the overall administrative head, because what happens is there is negotiation. So we've got four concurrent negotiations that are happening at the same time. I will be part of the political declaration team, and the DG will do the overall coordination of the whole delegation as the head of the administration of the department. At the moment, that is what the delegation looks like. Then we would have the civil society component, and those people have not been finalized, Chair, because we are, one, with regards to women, we have two disabled women structures, which is the South African Blind Women's Organization and the Disabled Women's Development Program. So between the two organizations, they must nominate a woman themselves and make the recommendation. What we are overseeing is to make sure that there's no oversupply of the same disability. That's what we are looking at, is that the delegation must reflect. And then on the youth issues, we also have only two organizations nationally that represent. It's Disabled Youth South Africa, and it's also, I think it's the DEFSA one. Yes, the SANDA, South African Deaf Youth, National Deaf Association. So among that two recognized registered youth formations, they will come up with a young person amongst themselves. And we're receiving that submission. And depending on those people's disabilities, we will cater for the reasonable accommodation. And then our candidate is a para on a wheelchair, so she will be provided with an assistant to be able to enable her to be assisted as she takes her bus, etc., and all that comes with the disability. And that is basically where we are, Chair. So we're waiting for the organizations, the deadline is Friday, for them amongst themselves to nominate. And we just set the criteria. Then after that, it will be as the committees, with the different people that are invited, confirm their delegation. That is the delegation, and that's how the delegation. I hope I've covered the responsibilities, because, yes, the responsibilities of the team is covered, I think. The DG will also do the overall coordination of the whole delegation. As I do the political coordination, she'll do the administrative to make sure everybody's logistics and everything is sorted. And she will do the as I engage with, for example, some of the members of the committee. So we'll be spreading. The politicians will go to the political declarations, because all of the four things, technology, women, children, and accessibility, will have their political themes, which must inform the closing ceremony. So we'll deploy the politicians. Well, I'll do the overall declaration. And then the DG will do the content and all of that to make sure that we are in touch with the capital, we get what we need. And the MNE team is the team, the unit responsible. That's, I hope I've tried to be of assistance, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Can we then proceed to the next presentation? Are we satisfied? Honorable Lamo, the way you're looking at me, it looks like you are not happy. Can we proceed?
Can you distribute?
Comrade Lamola? Honorable member, is there any question I must ask? Okay. No, I was just...
No, Jean, it's okay. I think you've been opening it. And
are not covering any provincial delegation at all, or ministerial. Any costs from outside of our department, we are not paying for anybody. We're only paying for ourselves and for the civil society prescripts only. All the premiers, all the provinces, all the districts, everybody else, we brought that the invite to their attention and in the invitation, and the committee will pay for itself and the select committee. So everybody's paying for themselves. We just brought, as we are required, the invitation to their attention in terms of the 3 years of government. But in the letter, it's very clear everybody covers their own. And for that matter, because we don't have the capacity, everybody makes their own arrangement. We just put a condition that everybody that's coming to this meeting must be in New York by 3 o'clock on the 11th when we do the overall allocation of tasks, who is attending which session, so that nobody arrives without fitting in anywhere. And that's why we also want the compulsory briefing on the 3rd of September, so that we are able to know who's where. I must also indicate, Chair, that there's also capacity building workshops that we are trying to pull. That happens on the sidelines. There's capacity workshops that are run by different agencies. There's site events in the evenings and in the mornings that are run the same way like the CSW is run. There's all those satellites where different sessions. So what we, by the 3rd of November, we'll have all that, the activities, and that is why we want to have a proper consultation of the whole delegation, so that we know who's going, and we allocate everybody to keep them busy for the duration of the 4 days. Moving along, Chair, at our last briefing,
Deputy Minister, the first thing we must say is that we should, I think, congratulate this good work, because personally, ever since I'm in women, children, and disability, in fact, I was here right from its inception, this is the first time that we have, that I'm maybe, you know, I didn't attend and other people experienced it, but this is the first time that we have such a broad delegation from South Africa. This is the first time that we just hear about conventions and United Nations, but this is the first time that in reality it is happening to this committee, and we see it with our own eyes happening, which I think is a good thing. Like the disabled in particular, we just don't like the idea of being spoken about with us without us being involved. So because it is happening for the first time, Chair can testify, it has never happened to this portfolio committee, and now those, I'm sure they'll be taking place. Like last year, I'm sure there was a theme. The other year, there was a theme. This thing has been happening, and this portfolio is there, but you know, we don't get reports, we don't know what is happening. I'm saying because now we are actively, this portfolio is actively involved. I think that this is a great, great improvement that we should all appreciate. Just the one question about the technical part. As you know, when we're talking about iPads, iPhones, laptops, desktops, all those technologies that are there, we think if the technological people were involved in meetings like this, we could talk to them directly and tell them what we think our needs are. I mean, there's JAWS for desktops and there is iPads that you speak to, but we up to now can't use them to the fullest extent. So when I hear that Taiwan will be chairing the technical political part. I was wondering, especially these Western countries and the big companies that produce computers and technological things, whether they'll be there so that the disabled themselves can accurately tell how they think things should be improved to suit their circumstances. This is a question about the technical part, the communication part.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Thank you, Chair. I want to echo the same sentiments like the Honourable Kekani, that we really appreciate what the Deputy Minister is doing to people with disabilities. It's a very great work that she's doing. My question would be with regard to the criteria for members of Parliament. I would like to know whether it just came automatically that it should be the chair of the committee and the chair of the select committee. It just happened automatically or... because I was of the opinion that if the committee or members of the parliament were to go here, maybe the invite could have come to the committee and it could be the committee that actually decide who will go. Because, yes, we work with the select committee, but I think the issues of children and women and children and the women and the disabled, it's mostly done by this committee in NA. But we find that most of the time the chairperson from the select committee is involved. So I want to know whether is it a standard that is there that if there are trips like this that have got to happen, the chairperson of the select committee, because she's the chairperson of the select committee, has got to go. Even though her participation in this whole issues of women and children is very minimal. So I would like to find out whether you didn't think that it would be preferable for the invite to come directly to the committee. And secondly, I just had Member Pell here saying there is a chairperson from the Education Hope, Member Hope, who is the chairperson of Education, who will be going. So I just want to know whether it's only chairpersons who have got the liberty or who have got the chance to be part of the delegation that attend such issues in overseas. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Lavon.
Mine is not on. I'm going to attend the conference. Mine is still on receiving documentation, which is great importance to this committee and decisions taken while in the meeting. I'm still on that one. These I don't know. I've just been browsing through the documentation that I got from the Deputy Minister, and it's excellent of her to provide us with additional documentation and information. But if I just, as I browse through the one on Portfolio Committee briefing for state parties meeting 12 to 14th of September. And looking under 8.4, initial report, that is, it's in this one, the Portfolio Committee briefing for state parties meeting document. And then just browsing through 8.4, initial report. And if I read what initial reports are about, I can't remember. I haven't been in this committee so long. Did we ever receive any reports that will be submitted on behalf of people with disabilities or youth with disabilities or whatever? Because gathering from what I see in under the initial reports, it speaks on the extent to which its laws and practices comply with the convention. Now, I believe that this relates to the articles in the convention. Aren't there any reports that we will be seeing before this delegation goes abroad? Can we not partake in these reports? Who does the report? Who does the input on these reports? I would just like some clarity on that. Thank you, Chair.
Let me start with the last. Honorable Lamoni, the documents you are reading from the additional documents that I gave you, isn't it? On the red one. I would like you to take a moment to just read them in context first, because they are additional resources that assist you to understand the broader UN system. So when you ask in context, state parties meeting, for an example, state parties meetings don't process reports. I gave you six different things. The first thing I gave you in the red one is all about the functioning of the committee, the expert committee that we are submitting a candidate for. That's the committee that processes reports. So I needed you to get a sense so that you can understand what the functions of the committee is, what they deal with, what it means to be a member of that committee, what are the member states. So there is additional information. And where you are reading, it's about how the committee deals with reports, which is the second part of the presentation that I'm going to be bringing. That's the report they are talking about. The initial report in terms of the preparation of state parties does not come from us. That is the report that I spoke about when I said at the state parties meeting, the United Nations Secretary General Special Rapporteur on Disability, who is a South African, does an independent, he doesn't contact anybody, he doesn't have to, he does his own assessment report of any country that between himself and the Secretary General will agree. That is where he will be reporting on the standard rules. I attached the standard rules for members to be able to know even for future. When we talk about the standard rules on the equalization of opportunities for people with disabilities, what are we talking about? Normally, that initial report that you are referring to in that document, it is the preliminary opening remarks that are done by the Special Rapporteur on Disability. That informs, because normally when you go to the UN, you get the, like we've already received, the initial note verbal on Roundtable 2. It comes from there. That's the initial report. It's already attached, and I've circulated it. That is what the Secretary General says. This is the guideline. This is what you, South Africa, because you'll be in the roundtable too, this is how you're going to direct that particular discussion. That work is not done by us as member states. It's done by the UN system in their own way. But they also pull from different reports that our presidents and everybody that goes to the UN. What the delegation that went to the CSW said informed this meeting as well on women with disabilities. So we are the work we're doing. We need to know what was said about disabled women at the status of women. And they pull together all that. Where you get involved is when we do the country report, which is the second part that I'm going to talk to. With regards to the late submission this time around, I was in Washington, as I said, and the date to brief the committee from the committee was the 8th. So we were preparing to make sure when I come back, I'll sign off on the document on the 8th. When the committee changed the date, Honorable Lamoli, that caught us not literally ready to come and brief the committee today. And that is part of when the date changed, by the committee. It kinds of, because the officials, as I said the last time I was here, cannot submit documents we have not signed off on, because when they come to Parliament, they have a particular reflection on us. So the changing of dates really got a little, because I was still out of the country and I just came back yesterday. And that's because we were preparing for the meeting of the 8th, which was the date that we had received, and we were working on that understanding that we get the documents before the meeting on the 8th. So when the date changed, it got us off that. That's why we sort of put together. That is what happened. But we take the note that sometimes the document does arrive late. We did not select chairperson. We sent the letter to the chairperson inviting the committee. So we did not say, we prescribe that the chairperson must attend. As is the practice, we send the letter of the committee to the chairperson, and the chairperson, so it's the committee that is invited, not the chairperson as a person. But we send the letter to her, so we send it to the secretary of the committee for the attention of the chair, for the chair to bring it to the attention of the committee, and for the committee to decide. What we did, Chair, because I tried to be consistent, is the same criteria we used to identify the respective department, we also brought to the attention of those departments, because as you'd be aware, we monitor everybody else. So when they talk about education, we can't go to New York and pretend to be answering on issues of education. We brought, guided by the documents from the UN, we identified the department, as I said, accessibility, public works, and we brought to the ministry's attention and to the portfolio committee's attention that this is, just to try and introduce what is supposed to have been happening over the years, which was not happening, to correct the wrong. So we send the letters to the portfolio committees, as we did to the ministries that are responsible, and we left it at that. We sent to the select committee as giving acknowledgement of the existence of the National Council of Provinces as the second house, because we are required to do that. And we did that with all the committees. So what ministries that we sent brought the invite to, we also did the same to the portfolio committees. And we're not even aware yet which committees are responding, but we made sure that we, economic development, the ministry, and the portfolio committee is aware. With regard to the presentation on technology, Honorable Sekana, yes. Normally what happens is that you will have three things. The big companies will be making the presentations. They will have side shows. They will have side events. There's normally an exhibition where all these accessible technologies will be exhibited, because unfortunately for us as South Africa, we don't have any innovation with regards to any assistive devices. We don't have. We export everything. The issues that we will be raising, as a typical example, it's the fact that the intellectual property rights have made it impossible for us to innovate anything. And that's what we are taking on the round table on accessibility on technology. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you look at South Africa in terms of our trade relations, DTI has only issued, Honorable Kekana, two licenses for accessibility products. And the dominating countries are America. So in terms of their intellectual property, they only issue one license per country, which makes competition impossible and the prices remain high. So those are the issues that we are taking to the roundtable on technology, to say developing countries don't have the space because the international intellectual property has locked the market, and it leaves us, even if we have the innovators, they are unable to enter that market because that market is locked. But the companies themselves will be there. They are normally there to exhibit. They will be there to make presentations, and they will be engaging with people with disabilities, because on the panel, there are people with disabilities that will also be sharing the frustrations from the different regions, and we will be aiding from the floor and not necessarily leading that delegation. I hope I've answered all the questions. This just so that we don't leave the committee hanging, so that the committee can just follow us as we try to develop, but also assist us as agreed at the last meeting. Chairperson, this is the update. The country report is coming along, albeit very slow. We have been given that it must be at the UN by the 3rd of December, and we're hoping that we are going to be able to meet that deadline. Where are we currently? I also need to say there's only two people, as indicated, in the department that has to do the admin. They don't have one chief director, Lydia Pretorius, and one director, Simitule. They are the only two people. None of them have a secretary or anything, so they have to be the drafters, the secretaries. We can't get additional technical support for them because we don't have resources. So where we are, 17 national departments submitted, and their submissions were signed off by the ministers. Four national departments submitted, the DGs and CEOs signed off. Five national departments submissions that we received are unsigned. 18 national departments entity submissions are still outstanding as we speak, since we started to fast track this process November last year. It's still chasing after them. Five signed off provincial submissions, that is Gauteng, Eastern Cape, Western Cape. Those are the three provinces where the premiers themselves signed off and submitted the consolidated provincial report. One province submitted, signed off by the DG with the permission of the premier because he was out of the country. So we've got four provinces and we're still chasing after five provinces that have not submitted. No reports received from any of the district municipalities despite us writing them. I don't know how many letters, Chair. Weekly follow-up phone calls, we've done everything, including bringing this matter to the attention of Minister Chabani, responsible for monitoring and evaluation. The phone calls, I've had one-on-ones with the ministers personally, and they promised that they will submit, but that doesn't seem to be happening. We are at the second draft, Chair, despite the gaps, and we can say the second draft is 80% complete, and we're breaking it down as follows. That is 75% of information received to date has been integrated. We need to check the information against the previous submissions made to the UN so that we are able to be consistent. So as South Africa reports, we need to now draw all the different reports and see what is it that they said on disability. We also have to verify the information so that we sort out contradictions. We have a lot of gaps as we clean up the document, Chairperson. To try and also fill in some of the gaps when we're struggling with departments, we engaged civil society. And a typical example is the Department of Social Development, for instance, sent us a report, but it doesn't tell us who they funded for what. So we had to now develop a questionnaire that we sent to civil society to say, please tell us, what are you being funded for? And that is part of the painful work that we have to do. There, I've just tried to break the report in bits and pieces, part one of the summary. That is, because it's our first country report, that's going to form the basis and the baseline. It's not necessarily included in the prescribed 60 pages report that the UN wants. Part two of the report, which is the section where we must do a thorough desk audit of what South Africa submitted to the UN in relation to disability so that there's no contradictions. We've done that. That we have completed, as it says, 100%. Then we go through, because the report needs to be in a format of articles, Chair, where the country must indicate what they have done on which article. With regards to the first segment 1 and 2, you would remember that is the part on the purpose, the dealing with the general principles, the general obligations the state has. Those are all the things that are outside. With regards to Article 5, Chair, that talks about equality and non-discrimination, we are 100% done. So we've got all the information we need for Article 5. For Article 6 and 7 goes towards the end of the report. So with Article 8 on awareness raising, we are at 90% because we're cleaning out a number of efforts and consolidation across sectors so that we are able. That is on Article 9, accessibility, we are 100% complete. And I must say here, when we come, despite Public Works being the custodian of accessibility, they did not submit check. So the information we have is just because I'm the former Deputy Minister of Public Works, but the department did not submit. We would not have anything on accessibility. On Article 10, which is 100% complete, that's the article that talked to the issue of the right to life. We're done with that article. Article 11, that is situation of risk and emergencies. We are done to the best of our ability. Article 12, that talks to equal recognition before the law. We're done, but we're actually also trying to get justice to give us additional information. We'll talk to the quality of the presentation, Chair, so you can get. Article 13 is also about justice. Access to justice, we're 60% done because justice in itself gave us a submission we could not even work on. So we had to send them new set of questions. Even yesterday, I was engaging their deputy minister to please just sit with the officials and get us the information we need. Article 14, we've pulled together what we know, and 15, we've sent it to justice to just finalize. So Article 14, 15, and 16, in terms of content, it's 100% based on the information we have, but justice needs to sign off and verify that. And that is the articles that deal with freedom from violence and abuse, protecting the person. And we're done with Article 17 on protecting the person, because those are just statements, and the Constitution is we took that. And 18, liberty of movement and nationality, we're done with that. Article 19, we're 75 done because it's living independently and being included in the community. And part of what we're supposed to get, that's why it's 75%, it's what health is supposed to assist us with and what social development is supposed to assist us with, and we're not getting the assistance. Article 20, Chair, talks to personal mobility. It's 75% done because your transport is supposed to tell us, and we're not making the progress, we're still pushing. Article 21 talks to freedom of expression and opinion and access to information. We would say we 100% done to an extent because we know the issues and the challenges. And one of the things we are using, Chair, is also the public hearing that I believe was very successful. It's also assisting us to build in into the report the inputs of that. Article 22, what happened to my 22 now? A respect for privacy. Okay, it's done, I think, because we are able to use the constitutional, whether they work, that's a different story. Article 23, respect for home and the family, we 80% because we also need social development because they are responsible for the laws of the family and all that. Article 24, we 80% complete. We are waiting for basic education to give us, and I guess the Limpopo textbook saga, Chair, it can give you a clear idea of how we are struggling where blind people were given sighted books. So we're still having all of those reality outstanding because we 80%. We're waiting for the metric results, for an example of disabled children, which we must share with the UN. We're waiting for, and we will incorporate some of the frustrations of the parents of disabled children also to beef up that section. and we are still waiting for basic education to come to us. 80% complete health is also not assisting us very much, and we will take some of the public hearings into. So it's 80% done because health is not assisting us. Again, health is also the next culprit for Article 26, rehabilitation, and we're not getting any assistance with regards to. The information is very weak. There's no data. It's really not in the interest. But we are also trying to verify it with civil society who provide such services. Article 27, work and employment. It's 80% complete, insufficient statistics, and we also using the public hearings, but we also not getting the necessary support from the labor, who are the department responsible for this, so that we are able to work. Article 28, it's 90% done. That is adequate standards of living and social protection. We tried to scrape around, bring in civil society, and see what's useful from the input made by social development, but we're still struggling. Article 29, we are participation in political and public life. That is us and Honorable Kekanas, and we're still trying to get that. Part of the challenge on this article, Chair, is that in preparation for this, we need to now go back. The Office of the Human Rights Commissioner did a report on the public participation of disabled people, and that's part of what he will be submitting. For some reason, without anything to do with us, Jericho did not process what was sent, and despite South Africa having the highest and doing and excelling, we did not make input in that. So we are trying to pull together what the commissioner will be reporting, and we are trying to negotiate to see how we can improve on his report, but also we're finalizing what he says about South Africa, which is a very painful story when other people are not doing what they are supposed to do. But that's where we are, Chair. And then Article 29, I'm now on Article 30. Article 30, it's done, Chair. That's the one, participation in cultural life, recreation, leisure, and sport. And then we did that. Article 6 and 7, Chair, that's segment D, in terms of how we are required to structure our report. That's where we need to report about women and children. We are 60% done. We are trying to now go back into all the reports that the government has submitted on CEDAW, and we now need to end on the Convention on the Rights of the Child, because we now need to pull issues of disabled people, but also be consistent. We also need to consolidate the issues on gender-specific information from submissions. What we've learned is that the statistics of disability were not integrated. They just didn't have male or female, and that is across SSA. Now that information is required, it's not there. Article 7, 60% done, and that is the article on children. Yeah, the problems are the same. The draft situation analysis report on children with disabilities that UNICEF done is what we are trying to get, and the children's unit in the department and Department of Social Development, we've requested them to verify that information. On segment E, Chairperson, which deals with Article 31 to Article 33, it's 95% complete. That's the ending. And that those articles deal with, the optional protocol, move along. Okay, Article 30, participation in cultural statistics and data collection, Chair. We are still waiting for STATSSA, but the Statistician General has already admitted that South Africa was not doing that related to disability. So we've negotiated with the UN. They will try and use what they have, which is not assisting, but we've requested, because we have to submit a report on disability and the MDGs, which also we don't have the disability data at all. So STEP SA will assist in trying to find a way of correcting that. So we're admitting upfront that as a country that was not happening. And then Article 32, international cooperation. Once again, Chair, it's the same story that DERCO was not integrating disability. That article talks about, as I said, international cooperation. We now need to report on how in all our bilaterals and multilaterals that we included disability, and that has not been happening, Chairperson. So it's also the weak part of the report, right, because we are unable to report on that. And then Article 33 is the rules on cooperative monitoring and implementation of the convention. And that it's done because that is what we do directly and what we are established to do. So that part is done, Chairperson. This outlines what I outlined previously, Chair. We are looking at the introduction to cabinet, taking it through the clusters. And in the PEC, I just want to move quickly. In the PEC, Chair, you have the list. Where is my list of departments? As I call it, is this one. Okay. The departments that submitted, Chair, is human settlement received. Labor, this is the ones that submitted. Human settlement is labor, trade and industry, tourism, DPME, the presidency, GCIS, arts and culture, energy, basic education, sports and recreation, communication, mineral resources, SARS, SAPS, COCTA, only submitted on the 20th of June. SAPS submitted on the 20th of June, COCTA submitted on the 17th of July. Social development submitted an unsigned copy. Rural development and land reform signed off by the DG. Public enterprise signed off by the DG. Health is signed off by the DG only on the 29th of July, which is 2 days ago. Independent Electoral Commission is signed off by the CEO on the 22nd of June. Justice is an unsigned copy, that's why, and it's not very useful. Correctional Services submitted an unsigned copy as well. DPSA received an unsigned version awaiting Minister's approval. Water Affairs received an unsigned version on the 20th of May, updated on the 2nd of June, but still unsigned. National Treasury, not received. Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, not received. Home Affairs, not received. Economic Development, not received. Higher Education, no. Defense, no. International Relations, no. Public Works, no. Science and Technology, no. Transport, no. SSA, not yet. National Planning Commission, not yet. ALAMA, the Financial and the Fiscal, these are all the ones that I have not submitted. The provinces, I spoke, Gauteng submitted, Western Cape submitted, Eastern Cape submitted, KZN, the DG. Free State submitted contributions from provincial departments of finance, signed off by their chief of staff, advised that province report should be signed off by the premier. So the Free State Department of Finance sent their own report, and we indicated that we don't want individual reports, but a consolidated provincial report that the premier must sign off. Limpopo, not received. Northern Cape, not received. Mpumalanga, not received. Northwest, not received, and none of the municipalities have submitted any report. With regards to, this is
we also did an analysis, Chair, which I won't go through. The analysis that follows is the document that talks about, we did a quick analysis that says to you, Labour submitted, so that when you want to engage them, where we show you that Labour submitted and what is it that they were supposed to respond to and whether they responded. Just as a typical example, you take, we took, for example, the Department of Labour. They are supposed to comply with Article 6, 7, 8, 9, 19, 20, 27, 28, 31, 32, and 33. 32 because they deal with the International Labour Organization. And you go to the next slide, the analysis, they did not respond to Article 7, 20, 28, 32, and 33. There was no stats, no roadshows, no presentations, no campaigns. So we give you a sense of the information that they were supposed to provide. And I need to say upfront, Chair, we attached the guideline to departments. We set and guidelines were submitted to say, you are responsible for these articles. This is what I expected. It was follow up with meetings at the disability machinery that was explained. You look at labor, for instance, strong policy and legislative base with insufficient evidence. There's no information on occupational health and safety. So they just send us information that's not assisting us. So we gave you a guidance, Chair. On the guidance is on the package I sent, the red pen. Okay. This I did, we decided on doing this analysis last night. That's why it's on the pack that I gave you just now, the red one. Let me explain. The analysis came with the pack of yesterday. And then the guidelines is this. The red one is the guidelines. The analysis looks like this. The analysis is this one. It came with the yesterday's pack. Because yesterday it was also just an addition where we were saying, let's try and also give you a broader analysis so that you are able to see in, from a quality perspective and from a usable information, who sent what. Did you get it? Do you have it, Ms. Lamela? You have it? Huh? Okay. Okay. And then you read it with this, right? When you read it, Chair, you must read it with this one. This is the guidelines that we send to all the departments, and this is analysis of their responses. So if you look at the responses we received, Chairperson, you would understand that we are really struggling. And with two people who don't have administrative support, who have absolutely nothing, they are the drafters, the consolidators, the secretaries, we're really not getting the support that we need from the department. But it's a bigger problem that says departments had never had to deal with disability issues, and now they find themselves wondering. And that is the long and short, because the analysis is quite long, Chair. It gives you trade and industry. They did not respond to Articles 7, 8, 9, 10, 32, and 33. But they deal with trade relations all the time. They go overseas. We don't. Part of the challenge is we are not even included in the things that they do. And when they are supposed to report, they don't report. You look at tourism, you look at Department for Monitoring and Evaluation, and you look at what they sent us, when they are supposed to be assisting us. It's not helpful, Chair. And that's the analysis that gives you an understanding of what we are dealing with. I would end there, Chair, because if I continue, you will be very sad. If you look at the analysis, what the analysis in concluding says that government does not have the capacity, the government officials don't understand disability rights. Secondly, the focal people that are designated to deal with disability issues don't understand them. Thirdly, government does not have knowledge management systems to be able to provide the required information. Thirdly, is that the reporting mechanisms in place in government never dealt with disability over the years. So they have never had to worry about disabled people. And now we're supposed to respond to the UN. They are unable to say anything about disability because they've done nothing about disability. Last but not least, it's also that there is no disability data. People do the work. They have data on women, but they don't have data on disabled people. As a sector, that needs to be serviced. And as a result, they find it very difficult to respond. I mean, basic things like art and culture, for an example, being able to actually show how people with disabilities participate in art, they couldn't, because they have not seen them as a sector to focus on. So that is the realities of where we are, Chair, and yeah. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. I think there were several questions, you know, which have been responded to by the information, you know, that you provided later, which one was actually going to be posing to you. Because firstly, I wanted to ascertain as to when you say 100% they've done it, what does that mean? Does it mean the information, you have received the information, therefore it's 100%, or whether the information was adequate? That is why you say 100%. So I think the analysis is actually assisting us, you know, to see what type of, you know, like, for instance, where you quoted poor quality, one did not really understand as to what do you mean by saying, if you say poor quality in one sense, we needed more information, but I think we have actually clarified that, and I must say that it actually shows, you know, how far we still need to travel for us to be able, you know, for instance, disaggregated information, you know, it's still even difficult with women, let alone, you know, persons with disabilities. We are still struggling to get that disaggregated information. So we do have a long walk. But I do hope that, you know, together with the committee, we will be able to do that. I mean, even the public hearings said much, you know, about what we are doing and what we are not doing, and we were very disappointed in the committee. Very, very disappointed and frustrated, and at one stage, I'm sure we all wanted to cry, you know, when you heard stories from those who were at the public hearing. Member, can I note him? Member Peterson? Member Connie? Mm-hmm. Member Lamol? And Member Kekana in the place?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to congratulate really the Deputy Minister for the really hard work she's doing, Comrade Chair. And I think it's really wonderful. I think also it's our duty from us who are serving in different committees that we must also check with the other committees if the issue of disability is really there. Because like Home Affairs today, I was really busy with them the whole day. From yesterday, we had provinces reporting. I'm telling you, on their disability profile, there is nothing complete. There has been 0-0 right through. So that's our duty as members sitting in different committees to do our job so that we have the deputy minister. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I must also congratulate the deputy minister for the work well done. And I want to concur with my colleague here next to me, Tina, as this committee really, you have to see what other departments are doing, and you must enforce them. I think it's our time now, we must do our duty to enforce. We must just deal with these other departments. My chair is to check with the department that, with the deputy minister, is there no deadlines and time frames around all these other outstanding provinces that are not submitted yet? And I saw here the Department of where you explained why was that. The Department of Public Works, you gave the Public Works 100%, but they didn't submit on the other hand. Mine is just to say, let us not give them because they didn't submit. So let us not give them any percentage. Let them be there by those that didn't submit. The other one, Chair, is the municipalities, Chair. What are we doing? What are we doing with them if they don't submit, but they're supposed to submit? What are we doing as a department? In fact, to all these departments, including the municipalities, what is our department doing? Is there something that we are doing? Are we enforcing them, or are we? If I was going to say, are we fining them? Is there a fine or whatever? Something must be done. You know, Chairperson, this team of ours, we must have a lot of departments that doesn't submit, and these departments are taking this Department of Women, Children and Disabilities for granted. And they don't respect us. They don't see us as the department that is there. We must show them that now we are the department that is alive.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a saying that goes, a proverb that says, one swallow can never make a summer. And no matter how hard you're going to try on your own, you will definitely not be able to build a nest and a comfortable one. Everybody needs to be included. The chairperson said, we're still struggling, and I was thinking, why are we struggling after so many years? And, you know, I like to speak on deadlines and time frames. And the last time I was referred to go back to the strategic plan, because you was leading the house. I am not, and I will never ever mislead anybody. I do study documents, and I do work on them as we leave each and every meeting. And the mishap that I find is tremendous. Nobody is really, no department takes this department of women, children, and persons with disabilities serious. They don't take us serious. If they did, why do we have such or so many challenges? Why are we faced with so many challenges? And then my question is, most of the challenges arises from line departments. And it is a pity that we could not study these documents properly, because as I work along, there are so many issues that comes up here, and we will never have time to speak on all this. My question then is, most of the challenges arises from line departments. And with line departments, I think everybody knows labor, human settlements, education, health, and whatever, social development. Not adhering to what they need to implement, and poor monitoring from either our department or our committee. And we must take the responsibility for not doing what we need to do. The second question then is, why was this not done? And this relates to our reports not being completed. And I remember the last time, Honorable Deputy Minister, when we spoke, I think your answer to me was, and I do not have my diary today with me, either the end of June or the end of July, country reports will be ready. I now hear of the end of December. And that also leaves a question mark because I do not know if we will have all the info that we need to complete these reports. And then my question, my second question therefore is, were any workshops done as to the, to allow the departments, our line departments, to work on a unified framework to assist the department on issues pertaining to persons with disabilities? Were there any workshops to run so that they at least knew what was expected of them and what they had to report on, especially with persons with disabilities? Somewhere I read something about data on disabled persons. And if there was no data available, where does the figure of plus minus 5 million disabled persons come from? So somewhere that we do have data, I think we just need to Google deeper into this topic. And my third question then is, for how long were the departments aware of these reports that they had to complete and to present to this department so that they could do this country report? For how long? What will be done to these departments and provinces that did not comply with the requests? And my question is also, any penalties? Will there the premiers be reported, because premiers are at the head of the provinces? Why did they not, out of the 9 provinces, 4, the one was not even signed off by the premier, 4 were done? Why are these still happening? And again, I want to reiterate that information needs to come to us prior to committee meetings. We're not doing justice. It is just not on that we come to meetings not having all data or all info that needs to be discussed in committee meetings. I thank you.
Thanks very much. Deputy Minister, you see, the beauty of what you are doing is, as regards disabilities, for the first time we feel, yes, what we're doing is not just a conventional thing at United Nations far away, but it's happening and you are thinking, you feel it is also doing an awakeness inside the nation, and it is grounded. And whoever is sleeping out there, I'm sure this will be an initiative to awaken him. So it isn't just something floating up there, it is also very grounded, and if we pursue it, we'll raise a lot of awareness and will manifest the issue of disability right inside our country. Because United Nations can set standards, but the real fight is here at home. And when these two interlinked that you think we're doing, you can see we're doing a real good work. Personally, I think there are critical departments that I think we should chase up, maybe chairphoning the chair of the portfolio there. I'm saying, as it is said, portfolio should help, maybe the DG. As regards additional information, maybe our researchers, we should also ask Parliament to give us one or two more to beef up our research unit here. The thing of Googling and doing our own research, because probably some department can't report even information that is there because they just can't research and collect it and present it in a coherent way. So research is going to also be very important for ready information that is there, whether it is negative or positive, but at least it is there. Now, I think critical departments, local governments and provinces, we have a ministry, if I'm not mistaken, the one that was led by late Skagoskala. I don't know if we change, because sometimes we change names of ministries. Because I think local government is very important. Somebody said that this is the chief of government close to the people, and I know a lot of disabled people who are desperate just run to the mayor's office, to the councillors. And they're not getting a lot of assistance because those guys think, well, whether assist or not, nobody notices. So through SALGA or ministry nationally, they've got to assist us to get report from these people, because even for property, a lot of it is also under local government. The second one is public works. I think, Chair, maybe we should phone Chair of Public Works and ask for their assistance with them. Because in the public hearing, they were complaining in Eastern Cape that they had property and it was taken away. I mean the disabled people. It was they actually had property. It was two properties that were taken away from them, and they said they couldn't get help from all departments and the minister. I think we should follow. In fact, I want to ask, when we get a big problem that we should help to solve, how do we go about it? Because I really think that one of property in the Eastern Cape, we should really help, because I've seen so many properties that are vacant and they are going for waste. 5 years, 8 years, nobody's occupying. And I'm sure if you ask public workers, you know, Deputy Minister, they'll say asset registration is delayed. But well, we can ask, we can't wait for them to sort asset registration. We just must persist to provincial public works to allocate properties that people can use in the time big while they are sorting themselves out. The one that we got from public hearing, I really think we should take responsibility and try. But for the purposes of this report, I think our portfolio, at least let's make an attempt. You see, if we, at least let's say we've tried something and not just sit back with Dorothy and wait for people not to give us reports. I would like us to try something as a portfolio from the committee. You see, public works is important. Local government is important. Those provinces that have not reported through Ministry of Local Government and the portfolio committee there. And in fact, tertiary education, especially technicals, where a lot of disabled people could be trained given the opportunity. I think we should also ask assistance from portfolio committee. Trade and industry, because in the economy, they are not employed there, and we don't know what the problem is and how they are doing. Now, Con, I think we should, because we are a portfolio committee, let's try and raise this matter with other portfolio committees. And I also think labor also, because it monitors this. But I hear that planning hasn't given a report. I would request that we also look at planning. I'm sure Tamani, Comrade Tamani, Minister, can help. Because if we are not part of planning, I mean, when they plan generally for the whole country for development, this portfolio and people with disability must be part of the plan. And we must know about that plan so that we know things are happening. So those are kind of key departments that I think we should follow up and not just leave. And because we are a portfolio, I'm sure DG will also do a job with other DGs. I think we should also phone them and beef up the effort that the minister is doing. Thanks.
Any other comment or question before I give over to the Deputy Minister to respond? I'm sorry, I can't see you because this is not a public hearing and only members of the committee are... So I can't see you. You...
Chairperson, yes, I'm a visiting member of Parliament. I'm a member of the basic education.
Okay, proceed.
Yeah. If you allow me, Chair, I can just make two questions for clarity, and then maybe I would say a comment as a contribution. Chair, first of all, can I just hear from the Deputy Minister whether I heard her correctly to say that DBE is still owing some learners certificates? That's the one question for clarity. Then secondly, I see that there's a status of UNCRDP submissions And then we've got also the sample analysis. And on the status of submissions, I see that DBE is listed. But on the sample analysis, DBE is not there with regard to the compliance. Can I just hear why is that? Is it the omission or what is happening there? Because I would imagine then if it's not covered in some other analysis or it must be part of this analysis. Then, Chairperson, my visit here today was sort of provoked, if I may say, last week when we had our committee at a strategic workshop. So I'm not mandated to speak on behalf of the committee, but there was an urgency for me to arrive here to find out what is this committee and the department doing to make sure that DBE complies with planning for learners with disabilities and budgeting adequately. I'm on record during the budget vote of education, basic education, on the 17th of May, when I said during my debate that the time has come that we plan and budget properly for learners with disabilities, because I think there is no space any longer that the Department of Basic Education can deal with learners with disabilities as an afterthought. Why I was saying that, it is only when we asked them, what is the budget for learners with disabilities or for inclusive education, that they came up with 750,000 rand. So I found it very, very insensitive or, you know, unplanned. And that's why I pursued the matter even last week. So I would like this committee to make sure, and I'm actually lobbying that you go directly and ask them about budgets, because some of the provincial departments, even some of them don't even budget. Some of them do budget. But it's also lacking. So we need to have a concerted effort to deal with this so that we make sure that the rights of learners with disabilities are complied to. Thank you, Chair.
Good.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Can you
say my name is Donald Smiles.
Donald?
Donald Smiles.
Smiles.
Can you switch off the mic then, please?
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just on the issue of deadlines, I just wanted to indicate that, just to contextualize a bit where we are and how we got here. The Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities was signed and ratified by South Africa in November 2007, just so that we can find each other, in November 2007. The prescripts in the convention, it says to member states, after signing and ratification, you need to submit a detailed country report within 2 years after you have deposited your signature, because you can sign and not ratify. So we signed and ratified without any reservation, both the convention and the optional protocol. So we deposited that in November. What it then meant is that 2 years later, which is 2010, we needed to submit a detailed report which was going to form a baseline. At that time, we went to elections. The Office on Status of Disabled People, which was in the presidency, started the process in 2007. And of course, there was only, 3 of them? they put the department submitted information, and in 2009 this department was established. So it slowed down. As I said, the whole year nothing happened because of the transition from the presidency to here. So the establishment of this of the department also contributed to the delay. In 2010 also the country report was supposed to have been deposited. It wasn't. But there was a draft which was more just documents put together. No analysis, no compliance. It was just a document. When we arrived in the department, just to remind members, we've been in this department since November last year. We found that document, and it was called the draft report. I could not make a head or a tail of it myself. I couldn't find anything, having participated in the negotiating of the convention. So it was not anything we could do anything about. So we started from zero to first get the guideline outline, which was not done. And we called at that time. We wrote letters in November when we took the decision to restart the whole process because the document was not up to... It was a zero document. It was just waved on paper. We started the process from zero, and we wrote letters in November to request departments to submit by February, am I right? By February 2012. By February 2012. That was the first deadline we set. Some departments responded, some didn't. We did, as the disability unit, a CAP memo to alert cabinet on the delays of the minister. Some reasons the cabinet never reached. The CAP memo was never made it to the thing. We wrote second letter in February, extended the deadline to April. And we got some responses. In April, we did one-on-one, and some responses we received. We set the last deadline, as you say, Honorable Lamola, that was in June. We gave them, when we got the extension from the UN, that please delay your report by 3 months because of the vacancies in the committee, which is 9 vacancies in the committee that's going to process, because our report was due, they had given us September. When we got the request that we submitted in December, that was not our request that we want the report to be submitted in December. It was a delay which was in our own best interest in any event, even though it was from the UN side to say we are filling 9 vacancies and there's only 12 committee members. Please allow us to fill the vacancies in September and induct the new members so that you are able to submit your country report. It gave us time because what we had decided was that we are going to submit it to cabinet with the gap. Saying that, that decision has already been taken. We won't be chasing up any departments anymore. We've done that. We've got proof records. We now go into cabinet and the ministers will answer to the president why their departments have not submitted. So we are finalizing the CAP memo. It's going as is. We won't be chasing anybody anymore. They will meet it in cabinet and then they will answer to the president why they have not submitted. That decision has been taken. So that closes the deadline and the chasing. When we do receive it, of course, we incorporate it. That brings me to the 100% as an example. It does not mean the 100%. It does not mean whether a department submitted or not. It means that the information and the quality in response to that article is the best that we can do. It's not about like accessibility public works. It's about what the UN expects of us, and given the circumstances, that's the best. So it just means from our side, in terms of drafting, using the information. So we use that to measure ourselves, to say, given the information, how far. So it's more a content, not necessarily linked to the submission of whether. It's us to measure how far are we to comply with article this, with article that. That is what we are using, I'm correct, Lydia, right? It's our own drafting, 100%, 75%, so that we are able to see where are the gaps as we draft. So whether there will be penalties, we are not in a position to know. Right now, cabinet is what will resolve what needs to happen. So the deputy president as the leader of government business and the president as the leader of the executive will deal with the ministers and their departments that did not respond accordingly. Our responsibility is to send the draft report to cabinet with all its gaps and see what, because we in any event can't submit it to the UN unless cabinet has approved it and unless yourself as parliament has made input for it to reflect as a country report. So we have decided that in terms of our work plan, that it's time for us to submit it to cabinet, and we are doing that. There were workshops that were held, but they were also, as we said, there isn't standing capacity in government in terms of issues of disability. The UN system, the UN came, we even requested the UN to run workshops with government departments, but to an extent they were not very effective, or they didn't assist. So we need to do more workshops. We're in the process of engaging so we can develop even a toolkit. So we're engaging with the UN to be able to get assistance in that regard, and there's hope that we'll get resources and also assistance so that we are able to develop a toolkit that will, in the future, that we don't have such problems. So workshops were held. And yes, departments were clear, Honorable, they know what is expected of them. Now, let me talk to the issue of disability data so that there is contextualization. When countries submit, you need data because you are submitting to a UN body. The data that you read about are estimates. Now, as a country, if there's an overall that says so many percent of the estimates of the world's population, that's your WHO estimates, that's different estimates. As a country, we need to develop our own estimates. So if you are looking for random data that just gives you an overview of how many of the world's population, it's the same thing as you're using you're using estimates, the same way you would use for people living with HIV in the world. There's no exact, it's estimates. It's that kind of a thing. But as a country, we need to be able to say so many disabled children are in school. You can't estimate that. You must know how many disabled children are in school. That's the data that's required by the UN in the report. And that's the kind of data we are talking about. You can't, as a country, estimate how many houses in the RDP program you've given to disabled people. You can't estimate that. You must know because you are the one issuing the houses. That is the data. It's not like disabled people were not issued with houses. But Human Settlement did not think it was important for their data to actually say so many houses was given. So that was not built in initially in the manner in which they report. And that's the data in relation to the country report that we are talking about. It's data to manage disability information. And that's not a South African problem. All the countries, including those that have submitted reports, don't have disability data. And that is informed by the definitions of disability, it's the classification, all of the different aspects, which part of these roundtables are beginning, because of the convention, to pull the world to be able to have uniform standards, which we don't have on disability. So this, at the moment, even when the UN does comparisons, they are comparing apples with oranges, because there's no uniform LNE and classification. Like, so the classifications that exist are for disabled people as medical objects, not as human rights objects. And that is where the data gap is. When you want to talk about how sick they are, that information is available. But them as equals, that information is a problem. So what I can say is that we're finalizing the report. This is the second round, as I explained. We will be, as part of our cabinet memo, indicate that local government have not responded, and Minister Baloyi would have to speak to that because his department has not submitted either. that's local government and traditional affairs. So he will also. Oh, they no. They submitted 20 July, so they say we are busy with the analysis. But it's those last minutes. The issue of the analysis, as I indicated to members, it's something that I thought it's a sample. Because we did it, as I said, we were preparing to brief the committee on the 8th. When the date was brought forward, we did not analyze all the departments. We just gave you a sample of what the analysis will look like. So it's not like Department of Basic Education is excluded. We're still analyzing so that we can come out with something that is similar. So the ones that we've analyzed was for me to give members an idea, and we try to do it as quickly as possible. They're allocating a day, but so that you can get what else we wanted to share with you. So it's a sample. By the end, we would be having the whole. So we're analyzing as we're drafting, as we're following up. So we thought it's important for us to just give you a sample of what informs some of the decisions. So it's a sample, and all departments will be analyzed. The general questions around basic education as a typical example, I guess that's not necessarily related to the report, but it's a general question that I can say, yes, the challenges with regard to education for children with disabilities is a challenge. And I made the example that just the textbooks, blind children received books for sighted people. And then somewhere an official ticks off tick, but it's a school for blind children that received sighted books. So it's a problem. Of course, our monitoring and evaluation responsibility is to monitor and to keep track. One of the things and one of the reports we'll be releasing as we are doing is we did a quick survey on special schools. We have packed, we're now receiving the questionnaires back. We've packed it because the same people that are busy with the country report must go and analyze those questionnaires. So we are busy receiving them back, but those questionnaires will give us the baselines, and it will be first-hand information that we will put together to say this is the status. But briefly, we can say, Chair, we do have serious problems. We've got teachers. We've got teachers in schools for the blind who don't know Braille. We've got teachers in school for the deaf who can't find. The schools don't have books. As I said, it's a briefing for another day. The hostels are falling apart. The non-staff are not being employed. The vacancies are not being filled. So the children have to look after themselves in those hostels. The situation is very bad. That is where I would leave it, to say, but to address the issue, we have established, I've said with Deputy Minister Surti, I've taken him through all the challenges that we have picked up as a department as we do our MNE work. We together set and developed a plan, and part of the challenge is that despite inclusive education, never mind inclusive education, special education, the department only has 3 people working there. For the whole inclusive education, there's only 3 officials in that unit, and the rest of the department does absolutely nothing on disability. We did a quick scan as a department. As I'm saying, Chair, sometimes we seem that we are not doing anything, but we're doing a lot of work. We took the whole Department of Basic Education to one school. We took the governance unit, we took the M&E unit, we took all of these units. And we say, here's a special school. Please explain to us what your role is. They could not even explain because they have nothing to do. When it's the elections of SGBs, they facilitate the process for every other school and they leave the special schools out. Now, why would inclusive education deal with the election of SGBs when there's a unit? So the SGBs in special schools doesn't get nominated because the 3 people cannot only do so much. Whereas that should not be in inclusiveness in SGB. So the hostels is the responsibility of social development, even though they are, in terms of the Children's Act, even though they are, in fact, inside the schools. At the moment, between basic education and social development, they don't even have a system amongst themselves to be able to say, as you employ the staff in the hostels and overrun the hostels, there's no relationship. So the allocated treasury budget, treasury did not allocate money to social development to do audits of hostels of special schools, just as a typical example. So nobody knows what's happening in those hostels. It's a very sad episode, but I was just picking that up. And that necessitated us to actually do the baseline. As soon as we get the country report out of the way, we'll do the analysis for the questionnaires that we are getting back. But as we read the questionnaire, it's very sad. The children with disabilities are 18 months behind, and that's not only in basic education. In higher education, Chair, we are doing the roadshows as a typical example. When government took the decision to take, for instance, just one example, the bursary that used to be in Labour, supporting disabled students, they left the people that knew how to run that. They just moved the money to NEFSA. And NEFSA has no clue what they are doing. Millions and millions of money allocated to disabled students go back to Treasury every year. While disabled students pull their hair out, they don't get their assistive devices. The assistive devices, NEFSA approves the first year student assistive devices in November at the end of the year. When they fail, NEFSA doesn't give them money. You failed your first year, you don't qualify. So it's a whole problem that we are unraveling as a department on the roadshows with universities, and universities are frustrated. So we're working, we're establishing disability rights units, we are pulling NEFSA with us, we're trying to overhaul a whole system and minimizing the frustration. And those are just typical examples that we are busy with, Chair. And something is briefings that we will request to make from time to time to keep the committee informed on the work, because we're overhauling the whole system. And I also need to say that for the department is also the work that I'm starting as I arrive, because it was too much for one person to do, women, children, and people with disabilities. So we overhauling that whole system, Chairperson. And so the CAP memo will be in cabinet by next week. They have submitted the CAP memo on the country report. We are busy. We've done it. We're just adding, because we had given them up to the 31st yesterday. So we're just looking at who submitted until yesterday so that we can update and then send it off. Anything that came from today, the first, they will answer there in cabinet because it's been closed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister. I think you have said a lot. I'm not even sure where to start and where to end. Because, you know, as we are talking, most of the issues were raised also in the public, during the public hearing. As for education, I don't even want to talk about it, because if we talk about fighting poverty, unemployment, you can't do that without education. And yes, it is true that it looks like some of our departments, they don't understand, you know, the issues, you know, that are also of a challenge, you know, to persons with disability. And we are saying that perhaps this will, it's a starting point, because, as I said, that, you know, there's a lot that came up from the public hearing, which we are also hearing from yourself. And as the portfolio committee, We have a process that we have outlined that we are going to be following. The process whereby we will be engaging with various departments,
and also yourselves on issues, you know, that were raised. It might be seen as a repetition whereby you engage with the cabinet ministers and also ourselves engaging with the department, but I think we are going to do that. We need to do that, and I see I'm intimidated. There's a member there who is just very same. Member Malchas, you want to speak? Is your hand up?
No, I'm left.
Oh, okay. Okay. And without really having to repeat what you have, you know, what you have raised, we hope that as this portfolio committee, we are going to be hands-on. We are going to be hands-on, as you are indicating that, you know, you had a road show with universities. I think we need a real of, you know, awareness, you know, with regards to these issues, because yes, they have been neglected for a very long time. And also from your saying that, you know, due to, you know, the massive work of this ministry, there was no one who was specifically focusing, you know, in this sector. But you know, when you talk about data, when it really worries me, because I'm not sure how we are going to really be able to get what we want. But we hope that without despairing, we will, you know, try and fight very hard from this on this one of data, because I know it has been an issue for a very long time. Hope. We submitted a proposal, because we don't want to complain about resources. We submitted a proposal to the UN, because they've called for proposals. They established the disability fund that they launched in December. We submitted a proposal, and part of the money we've requested for was to put in place the whole knowledge data management system. So we're working on that. And also the Statistician General said that he will, as soon as they finish the census, they are going to run a special disability census relay so that they can get the baseline. So that they have already allocated funds and we engaged. So as soon as they release the census, he said that they will do a 6-month disability-specific survey that will give the country the baseline. And that will be completed in May. So we're doing a lot of work there. And as I said, the UN will be coming as well to assist us to put the systems, but to develop the toolkit. And you will also be part of the people that will be trained to do the oversight. We've included you in the proposal as well. Thank you, Chair. Thank you for that information, Honorable Deputy Minister. I thought I'm making a closing remark now, and I'm intimidated, you know. Honorable Teacher Chele. Honorable Teacher Chele.
I'm not asking the Deputy Minister any question of. It's just an exciting comment, because she's ending up with at least good notes, because we have been bad feeling, you know. So I just want to say we end up with a smile at least.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Gekana, can you press for him?
And I'm not taking it, so don't be apprehensive. Chair, I just thought, you know, Honorable Smiles from Education. His contribution was so important because it comes from the horse mouth. And because Honorable Malchas has come from this committee, she's got experience and she's heard about the bursaries, hostels for special schools, the issue of technical and vocational schools, whether disabled people are getting training, because if they are not trained, we'll every year complain about the 2% quota not being met, because employers are not going to employ people without skills just because it is a charity matter. And in fact, the stigma that you are complaining about, the only thing that removes stigma, you see, the world doesn't respect beggars, poor people. The world respects people who can generate life for themselves. And the only way we're going to remove stigma is if we face up to the challenges of life and disabled people can make a livelihood for themselves without bothering anybody. The stigma will go. For as long as disabled people are beggars, they are poor, they are always with their heads begging for money, the stigma will remain. They'll be looked down upon. Now, these are very critical determining factor where disability goes. That's why I'm saying maybe Comrade Madgard, because she comes from this committee, she could also make a few comments just as to what is happening there in education. We also want to get from a female horse mouth.
Honorable Kekana, unfortunately, I'm on the chair.
Is that a request?
And I will determine who speaks and who does not speak.
My request.
Okay, can you switch off, please? Honorable Mahas, do you have a few words to say as a request?
Thanks a lot, Honorable Chairperson. I thank the minister, the deputy minister, for the contribution she made. We just come from a workshop the weekend, and I must say we were disappointed when it came to inclusive education, special schools and our full service schools. And even when it comes to PEPs, the minister speaking the truth. And I think what this workshop that we had brought together was where the national department is thinking further. Because you look at the national department's report, we have inclusive education since 2000. Yes, but they start in 2000, the white paper 2000. Thanks for that, 96. The white paper came out in 2000. And what we noticed, the department nationally is in the planning stage since 2000. And I must congratulate two provinces, Mpumalanga and Northwest, because we visited the two provinces, and they were giving us report back. Because you know what? There's something I want to tell you what is so terrible. We were towards the Christiana School of the Blind and deaf. And what happened? Four students were in one of the rooms. We don't know where the house mothers were. And it burned to death. They burned to death. And we said, CCTV cameras, minister speaking the truth, CCTV cameras have been put into place. And we were very encouraged by the schools we visited and what each one said. You know, like, we check two geezers in the one hospital, two geezers in the other, bad. CCTV cameras, bad. But the thing is, we are so far behind in education. So what happened, Mr. Mawele, one of the DDGs, because they could see there's a disjuncture on what is happening on the ground and what is happening at national, the decision was that the department nationally, as we call in all their provinces. And then they're going to have a discussion on people, persons with disabilities. And as I can see how far, and I think it's through our Deputy Minister sitting here, she wants to ask her, see that they have something in place and see exactly what is missing. Because, you know, we're not sure even, like I said in the meeting, You come to social development. I know in the Eastern Cape, social development is persons with disabilities in our homes. That's supposed to be under education. Where do they get their education from? And I thank the minister because I received the invitation to be part of the delegation or someone in the committee that we are really working hard. You know, we actually thought of going as far as telling the department, you are going to top slice of your budget. In things, what goes to our persons with disabilities. And we'll be very happy to help this committee with the data we have so far. Because I made a lot of notes while our minister was speaking. So that we go back, because we are going to have another big meeting with the department just on inclusive education. And thanks a lot, Minister, for the report you gave, because it really helped us to see what is happening. Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, for the chance to speak.
Thanks, Honourable Mankas. And as I've already indicated, that our committee will be meeting with your department, and we will also inform you when we meet with them. We are meeting with various departments, you know, arising from the public hearings that we held with stakeholders and civil society. Let me take this opportunity to thank the department, the deputy minister, for the valuable information that you have shared with us. I hope that we now understand as to why we are where we are today. And this is as a result of this sector not being taken as seriously. Let me also thank the honorable members for their patience and everyone who is here. Thank you very much, and this meeting is adjourned.
The chair has adjourned the meeting. Just 1 minute, chair. I know that I've only interacted with the committee on issues of disability, but I'm also responsible for HIV and AIDS in the department. So you will get a request for us to brief you on what we are doing on HIV as it affects the three sectors. So we need to come and bring the committee on board, because there's also a training that we are arranging for the committee to be able to perform oversight on that subject. We're also responsible for anti-poverty programs as it relates anti-poverty. So we need to come and brief the committee on that. And there's a date that we want the committee to know, it's the 9th of October. What we did with the frustrations we have, Chair, we wrote to the President to say he's doing oversight, random visits, but he doesn't go to special schools. So I launched it as a formal complaint, which he responded and gave us the date for the 9th of October to visit special schools in the Northern Cape. That's where he will be doing the presidential visit. So we were thinking that we always challenge systems that if the committee is able to actually, just track that presidential visit of the 9th of October. It will help in, because that's the whole idea, is to shake up education.
Chairperson mentioned in our debate earlier this year of 460 some odd thousand disabled children in the country,
mm-hmm.
of which 200,000 is in the Western Cape.
Mm-hmm.
I asked for the details of where those 200 children are to follow up. please, if the deputy minister can give us the details of those children per province so that we can do something about it. Thank you.
I'm still waiting for them from education, the actual, but I have the estimate from them. As soon as I get them, I'll tell them.
Oh, those ones.
Yeah, they were. It could be another sister thing.
Is that this one?
Yeah, it's the brain twister. It's a guideline.
Oh, the guideline.
Yeah.
Because the guideline is difficult now. You can get it from the committee secretary because I don't have an extra one.
Thanks.
My friend comes again to you.
Anything on it.
Sure.
Look here.